Chapter 47. Between them. Yes, apostrophe said Mountclear. Nulcia is an abominable place to get into with an east wind blowing, they say. Apostrophe, apostrophe, another circumstance conspired to make their landing more difficult, which Mountclear knew nothing of. With the wind easterly, the highest sea prevailed in Nulcia Bay from the slackening of flood tide to the first hour of ebb. At that time the water outside stood without a current, and ridges and hollows chased each other towards the beach unchecked. When the tide was setting strong up or down channel, its flow across the mouth of the bay thrust aside, to some extent, the landward plunge of the waves. We glanced for a moment at the state of affairs on the land they were nearing. This was the time of year to know the truth about the inner nature and character of Nulcia. For to see Nulcia smiling to the summer sun was to see a courtier before a king. Nulcia was not to be known by such simple means. The half-dozen detached villas used as lodging houses in the summer, standing aloof from the cots of the permanent race, rose in the dusk of this gusty evening, empty, silent, damp, and dark as tombs. The gravel walks leading to them were invaded by leaves and tufts of grass. As the darkness thickened, the wind increased, and each blast raked the iron railings before the houses till they hummed, as if in a song of derision. Certainly it seemed absurd at this time of year that human beings should expect comfort in a spot capable of such moods as these. However, one of the houses looked cheerful, and that was the dwelling to which Ethelberta had gone. Its gay external colors might as well have been black for anything that could be seen of them now, but an unblinded window revealed inside it a room bright and warm. It was illuminated by firelight only. Within, Ethelberta appeared against the curtains, close to the glass. She was watching through a binocular a faint light which had become visible in the direction of the bluff far away over the bay. Here is the spruce at last, I think, apostrophe she said to her sister, who was by the fire. I hope they will be able to land the things I have ordered. They are on board, I know. Apostrophe, the wind continued to rise till at length something from the lungs of the gale alighted like a feather upon the pane, and remained there sticking. Seeing the substance, Ethelberta opened the window to secure it. The fire roared and the pictures kicked the walls. She closed the sash, and brought to the light a crisp fragment of foam. How suddenly the sea must have risen, apostrophe said Piketty. The servant entered the room. Please, Mrs. says she is afraid you won't have your things tonight, They say the steamer can't land, and Mrs. wants to know if she can do anything. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is of no consequence, apostrophe said Ethelberta. They will come some time, unless they go to the bottom. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the girl left the room. Shall we go down to the shore, and see what the night is like? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Ethelberta. This is the last opportunity I shall have. Apostrophe, apostrophe, is it right for us to go, considering you are to be married tomorrow? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Piketty, who had small affection for nature in this mood. Her sister laughed. Let us put on our cloaks, nobody will know us. I am sorry to leave this grim and primitive place, even for Enkworth Court. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they wrapped themselves up, and descended the hill. On drawing near the battling line of breakers which marked the meeting of sea and land, they could perceive within the nearly invisible horizon an equilateral triangle of lights. It was formed of three stars, a red on the one side, a green on the other, and a white on the summit. This, composed of masthead and side lamps, was all that was visible of the spruce, which now faced end on about half a mile distant, and was still nearing the pier. The girls went further, and stood on the foreshore, listening to the din. Seaward appeared nothing distinct save a black horizontal band embodying itself out of the gray water, strengthening its blackness, and enlarging till it looked like a nearing wall. It was the concave face of a coming wave. On its summit a white edging arose with the aspect of a lace frill. It broadened, and fell over the front with a terrible concussion. Then all before them was a sheet of whiteness, which spread with amazing rapidity, till they found themselves standing in the midst of it, as in a field of snow. Both felt an insidious chill encircling their ankles, and they rapidly ran up the beach. "You girls, come away there, or you'll be washed off. What need have ye for going so near?" Ethelberta recognized the stentorian voice as that of Captain Flower, who, with a party of boatmen, was discovered to be standing near, under the shelter of a wall. He did not know them in the gloom, and they took care that he should not. They retreated further up the beach, when the hissing fleece of froth slid again down the shingle, dragging the pebbles under it with a rattle, as of a beast gnawing bones. The spot whereon the men stood was called down under wall. It was a nook commanding a full view of the bay, and hither the nautical portion of the village unconsciously gravitated on windy afternoons and nights, to discuss past disasters in the reticent spirit induced by a sense that they might at any moment be repeated. The stranger who should walk the shore on roaring and sobbing November eves, when there was not light sufficient to guide his footsteps, and muse on the absoluteness of the solitude, would be surprised by a smart good night, being returned from this corner in company with the echo of his tread. In summer the six or eight perennial figures stood on the breezy side of the wall in winter and in rain to leeward, but no weather was known to dislodge them. "I had no sooner come ashore than the wind began to fly round," said the previous speaker, "and it must have been about the time they were off Old Harry Point." "He'll put back for certain," I said, and I had no more thought o' seeing her than John's set net that was carried round the point o' Monday. Poor feller. His wife being in such a state makes him anxious to land if I can. That's what 'tis, plain enough. Why that? Said Flower. "The doctor's aboard, I believe. LL have the most understanding man in Sandburn, cost me little or much," he said. "'Tis all over and she's better," said the other. "I called half an hour afore dark." Flower, being an experienced man, knew how the judgment of a ship's master was liable to be warped by family anxieties, many instances of the same having occurred in the history of navigation. He felt uneasy, for he knew the deceit and guile of this bay far better than did the master of the Spruce, who, till within a few recent months, had been a stranger to the place. Indeed, it was the bay which had made Flower what he was, instead of a man in thriving retirement. The two great ventures of his life had been blown ashore and broken up within that very semicircle. The sturdy sailor now stood with his eyes fixed on the triangle of lights which showed that the steamer had not relinquished her intention of bringing up in sight the pier if possible. His right H, and was in his pocket, where it played with a large key which lay there. It was the key of the lifeboat shed, and Flower was coxswain. His musing was on the possibility of a use for it this night. It appeared that the captain of the Spruce was aiming to pass in under the lee of the pier, but a strong current of 4 or 5 knots was running between the piles, drifting the steamer away at every attempt, as soon as she slowed. To come in on the other side was dangerous, the hull of the vessel being likely to crash against and overthrow the fragile erection, with damage to herself also. Flower, who had disappeared for a few minutes, now came back. "It is just possible I can make 'em hear with the trumpet, now they be to leeward," he said, and proceeded with 2 or 3 others to grope his way out upon the pier, which consisted simply of a row of rotten piles covered with rotten planking, no balustrade of any kind existing to keep the unwary from tumbling off. At the water level the piles were eaten away by the action of the sea to about the size of a man's wrist, and at every fresh influx the whole structure trembled like a spider's web. In this lay the danger of making fast, for a strong pull from a headfast rope might drag the erection completely over. Flower arrived at the end, where a lantern hung. "Spruce ahoy!" apostrophe apostrophe he blared through the speaking trumpet two or three times. There seemed to be a reply of some sort from the steamer. Tuesday's gale have loosened the pier, cap nouns. The bollards be too weak to make fast to. Must land in boats, if he will land, but dangerous. Your wife is out of danger, and tis a boy why. Apostrophe apostrophe, Ethelberta and Piketty were at this time standing on the beach 150 yards off. Whether or not the master of the steamer received the information volunteered by Flower, the two girls saw the triangle of lamps get narrow at its base, reduce themselves to two, in a vertical line, then to one, then to darkness. The spruce had turned her head from Nulcia. They have gone back, and I shall not have my wedding things after all. Apostrophe apostrophe said Ethelberta. Well, I must do without them. Apostrophe, you see, 'twas best to play sure, apostrophe said Flower to his comrades, in a tone of complacency. They might have been able to do it, but 'twas risky. The shop folk be out of stock, I hear, and the visiting lady up the hill is terribly in want of clothes, so 'tis said. But what's that? Ounce ought to have put back afore. Apostrophe, then the lantern which hung at the end of the jetty was taken down, and the darkness enfolded all around from view. The bay became nothing but a voice, the foam an occasional touch upon the face, the spruce an imagination, the pier a memory. Everything lessened upon the senses but one, that was the wind. It mauled their persons like a hand, and caused every scrap of their raiment to tug westward. To stand with the face to sea brought semi-suffocation, from the intense pressure of air. The boatmen retired to their position under the wall, to lounge again in silence. Conversation was not considered necessary. Their sense of each other's presence formed a kind of conversation. Meanwhile Piketty and Ethelberta went up the hill. If your wedding were going to be a public one, what a misfortune this delay of the packages would be, apostrophe said Piketty. Yes, apostrophe replied the elder. I think the bracelet the prettiest of all the presents he brought today, do you? Apostrophe apostrophe, it is the most valuable. Apostrophe apostrophe, Lord Mountclair is very kind, is he not? I like him a great deal better than I did, do you, Berta? Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, very much better, apostrophe said Ethelberta, warming a little. If he were not so suspicious at odd moments I should like him exceedingly. But I must cure him of that by a regular course of treatment, and then he'll be very nice. Apostrophe apostrophe, for an old man. He likes you better than any young man would take the trouble to do. I wish somebody else were old too. Apostrophe, he will be someday. Apostrophe apostrophe, yes, but apostrophe, never mind. Time will straighten many crooked things. Apostrophe apostrophe, do you think Lord Mountclair has reached home by this time? Apostrophe apostrophe, I should think so. Though I believe he had to call at the parsonage before leaving Nulcia. Apostrophe apostrophe, had he? What for? Apostrophe, why, of course somebody must apostrophe, oh yes. Do you think anybody in Nulcia knows it is going to be except us and the parson? Apostrophe apostrophe, I suppose the clerk knows. Apostrophe apostrophe, I wonder if a lord has ever been married so privately before. Apostrophe apostrophe, frequently. When he marries far beneath him, as in this case. But even if I could have had it, I should not have liked a showy wedding. I have had no experience as a bride except in the private form of the ceremony. Apostrophe apostrophe, Berta, I am sometimes uneasy about you even now, and I want to ask you one thing, if I may. Are you doing this for my sake? Would you have married Mr. Julian, if it had not been for me? Apostrophe apostrophe, it is difficult to say exactly. It is possible that if I had had no relations at all, I might have married him. And I might not. Apostrophe, I don't intend to marry. Apostrophe apostrophe, in that case you will live with me at Enkworth. However, we will leave such details till the groundwork is confirmed. When we get indoors, will you see if the boxes have been properly corded and are quite ready to be sent for? Then come in and sit by the fire, and I'll sing some songs to you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, sad ones, you mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, they shall not be sad. Apostrophe, apostrophe, perhaps they may be the last you will ever sing to me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they may be. Such a thing has occurred. Apostrophe, but we will not think so. We'll suppose you are to sing many to me yet. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. There's good sense in that, Piketty. In a world where the blind only are cheerful, we should all do well to put out our eyes. There, I did not mean to get into this state. Forgive me, Piketty. It is because I have had a thought why I cannot tell that as much as this man brings to me in rank and gifts he may take out of me in tears. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Berta. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but there's no reason in it, not any. For not in a single matter does what has been supply us with any certain ground for knowing what will be in the world. I have seen marriages where happiness might have been said to be insured, and they have been all sadness afterwards. And I have seen those in which the prospect was black as night, and they have led on to a time of sweetness and comfort. And I have seen marriages neither joyful nor sorry, that have become either as accident forced them to become, the persons having no voice in it at all. Well then, why should I be afraid to make a plunge, when chance is as trustworthy as calculation? Apostrophe, apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.